Welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today? Good morning. God bless you. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning. It is a good morning, and we are grateful to God for another good morning. Good morning. We say good morning to every one of you. We love you with the love of Jesus. And today we just come to greet you first with good morning. Why does he keep saying good morning? He keeps saying good morning because truly it is a good morning. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we're glad in it. It doesn't matter what may have happened throughout this week. It may not matter what may happen tomorrow or whenever. The fact that God is with us here today lets us say good morning. And so we just welcome you. I'm Pastor Roy Carter from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church located at 1529 North Wisconsin Street. And we just come here in the city of Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. And we just come to you this morning with a word from the Lord that it might carry us over, that it might carry us through, that it might fortify us, that it might teach us, that it might help us, that it might enable us to live and become who God called for us to be. You know, I need to stop just for a moment. I'll keep doing it until things get better. We absolutely must take the time, make it a concern of yours to be concerned about our health conditions. So please wear a mask every time you leave the house. Please put a mask on, please. And make it, wear it appropriately. It does no good to put the mask on and it's down here over to the side under your chin. No, put it on that it covers all the necessary points as we are taught, that we might help break this spread if we do it. And don't take the idea that, well, I already had it and I'm good. We're seeing that people that have had it are coming back and getting infected again. And there's so much about this disease that we don't know. So let's just do our part. Put the mask on, continue to sanitize and wash our hands. Make sure we practice social distancing. And I know how hard that can be to practice social distancing, but it's a necessary thing. So I just encourage you, let's do this, that we all can get through this pandemic time together. Amen. Let's do this. Thank you to each and every one of you that have been financially supportive to the New Life Church. You see in our caption there ways that you can continue to give that the work of ministry may go on. We're not in the office on a regular basis. No one is there, but you can leave us a phone message. Excuse me, at our telephone 262-417-7363. And somebody will respond back to you at our soonest convenience. You can send us an email message. You can reach us on our Facebook at our messenger there. Somebody will get back to you as soon as we can. Share with us your prayer requests. Share with us your praise reports. Give us your words of testimony. We encourage you to visit our church website at nlracine.org. And there you can find things going on at New Life Church. Now, we want to go right to the Word of God. That's our purpose on this morning. Continue to come in. Continue to share this. Continue to tag and like it to that your friends and your family and your relatives and even your enemies, if you got some, that they might hear this word of God on this morning. Now, today is the first Sunday of Advent, the Advent season being those days leading up to the Christmas day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as many people are already doing or will be doing, it takes some doing to be prepared for Christmas. It takes some doings. You know, a lot of people have already started putting their Christmas decorations up and you know, contemplating them, contemplating gift giving, contemplating shifting money around that they might do all of these sorts of things. And so we want to talk this morning in light of Advent, in light of Christ's coming, in light of the celebration of Christmas, we want to talk about the unexpecteds of Christmas, the unexpecteds, those things that come up that are unexpected. Now, I have two sections of scripture that I want to read, and they're a little lengthy, but they both tell of the Christmas story. One from Matthew's perspective, found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 8, beginning at verse number 18, and then we'll go over to Luke's perspective. These are both disciples of Jesus, and they're telling the same story, but they're telling it from their own vantage points. You know, when you got two different people looking at something, they're both going to see things and talk about things that the other one perhaps did not see. Not a mix up in the story, but just telling it from two different vantage points. And in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, reading from the New International Version, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through his prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We'll read from Luke a little bit later. We find in this particular story, it's leading up to the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate as Christmas Day. You know, think about it. When you look at the Lifetime movies and Christmas cards and, you know, the pretty pictures, everything just looks so in order and everything is just so neat and tidy and the lights are just right and they twinkle at just the right. You know, many times people will spend hours trying to duplicate what they have seen that their Christmas will be perfect. That will be tranquil. Full of joy, full of love, peaceful, and just everything just falling in point and on time. I want everything to just be right. And in reality, let's talk reality. In reality, for a lot of people, this is a time of year when some sweating is taking place. We're getting overwhelmed by, you know, trying to find the latest video game. And, you know, the store only had two. But we stood in line for 20 hours to get them two things. When people are wondering if they'll have enough of this and they'll have enough of that. How can I juggle the few coins that I do have? The pandemic has come about and, you know, people are sick and people are dying. And how will we experience the holidays without our loved ones? And all of these things, unexpected things. You know, unexpected is those things that come about that surprise us, that take us over without us being aware. They're not how they were planned to be. It's not supposed to be like this. In this year of 2020, you could not have told me it would ever be like this. We couldn't even imagine that it would be like this. All kinds of sickness and death and financial ruin and people losing their jobs and political upheaval and racial tension and just all of this stuff unexpected. But, and I always say but erases everything that was just said, but we serve an almighty and an everlasting loving God who can use the unexpected to accomplish his purposes for his glory and for us. So I want to talk about some unexpected things at that first Christmas. Here's a pregnancy that takes an unexpected pregnancy. Some of y'all know about unexpected pregnancies. Oops, I didn't mean for it to happen this way. Now, in this case, Mary wasn't doing anything that brings that about. You know, y'all understand what I'm saying. She wasn't doing anything. The Bible says that she was a virgin. She was untouched. She had not. She ain't do none of that. But now God's angel has come to her and tells her that she will be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and she will become pregnant. Remember, God deals with, God does the unexpected. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah, you know, he had a specific task to save God's people from their sins. That's a lofty job. That's a powerful position. That is something that is regal and royal just because he's the Messiah. And here God is bringing this Messiah to fulfill Old Testament scripture, and he's choosing the unexpected to bring this about. According to the scripture, she's young, she's engaged, and but she's still a virgin. And God uses this unexpected to bring about the Savior of the world. Can you imagine the wonderment that was going on in her mind? Can you imagine? I'm just a young girl. I'm pregnant. What are my family going to say? What is my future husband going to say? Now, back then, the law was different. And for her to come up pregnant as she did, she could have been instantly killed, stoned to death. Will he still want me? What is going to happen to me? This is a totally unconventional thing to happen, but God brings it about. And surely Joseph is upset. The Bible says, you know, because he was a godly man and a righteous man, he wants to do the right thing. And so he decides, rather than to disgrace her, to shame her, I'll just quietly put her away, divorce her, and I'm out the picture. And she ain't gonna do what she needs to do. But God speaks to him in a dream and tells him what to do. And Joseph agrees. Now, when the unexpected comes, notice what Mary does. And this is where we flip over into Luke chapter 1. When the angel comes and speaks to Mary and tells her this news of an impending pregnancy, Mary's first question, she said, how this going to happen? I ain't been with nobody. How is this going to be? And the angel reminds her or lets her know how it's going to be. And Mary just simply says, God, as you will, I'm your servant. Do what you want. God has a way of reassuring his people when he's doing the unexpected. And we have a constant reminder in what Jesus said. And sometimes I think we forget it. Jesus said, when they were talking about impossible things, unexpected things, unplanned things, things that don't look like they're working in our favor, things that look like they're going to be upsetting and turn us around and knock us down and put us out, Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 26, and said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Remember, when we're talking about the unexpected things that will come in our lives, they come about due to no doings of our own. We have to remember the words of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9, God speaks and he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But we're admonished in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, that we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, because our own understanding won't carry us through. Our own understanding leads us to, well, it looks like to me it ought to be this way. Well, I think it should be this, and I feel it should be that. But remember, God doesn't think the way we think, and nor does he act the way we do. Hallelujah, that he doesn't. Because, you know, some of us can be a little bit much. You know who you are, bit much people. But God can deal with the unexpected, and so can we as his people. Mary didn't understand all of what the angel told her, but she accepted what the angel of God told her. Joseph didn't understand it, but he accepted the unexpected, even though he didn't understand it all. That's what we need to do. We may not understand it, we may not like it, but if we trust in God, trust in God, we know that everything will work out for our good. Why? Because we are his servants. The next thing, if you go over to Luke, I remember I told you earlier that we were going to look at two different passages of scripture. We read from Matthew's point of view. Let's look over at Luke's point of view, found in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 4. And it says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room, no guest room available for them. Unexpected. This whole birthplace, unexpected. Unexpected. We're talking about the unexpecteds of Christmas. Unexpected. Here is the Messiah, God's plan, God's son, the Savior that would come, and he's going to be born in a stinking, nasty, dirty stable and then placed in a feeding trough for animals. Just don't seem right. Unexpected. Didn't have no fancy birthing room. Didn't have no comforts of home. No family gathered around and you know, some sitting out in the waiting area waiting on the birth of this. No, unexpected. Surely not would be what would be expected for the Savior of the world. Often we find ourselves in these unexpected situations, and they leave us with choices to make. We can either panic, we can pout, or we can press on. Hear me. We can panic, we can press on, or we can pout. We can freak out, but by now most of us already know that our freaking out ain't gonna make no difference to the situation at all. We can sit there and become bitter, but we ought to know by now that solves nothing. Many times we make the best of it and work through the situations. Mary and Joseph relied on what the angel of the Lord told them. And the scripture doesn't say this, but their actions show that they trusted that God is going to make this thing happen. And as I oftentimes say in my greeting, it shall be well. So they got up when time of census came. They went on and prepared to go to Bethlehem. And when they got there, the time was for the baby to be born. They went to the inn. There was no room in the inn. They didn't freak out. They didn't panic, but instead they continued to trust the Lord. We've got to learn to trust the Lord in unexpected. When the unexpected things happen, we've got to trust the Lord. We as believers, we've got to look at how we handle things. How do you handle things? How do you handle things when you're treated less than you feel you deserve to be treated? Or how do you respond when the finances ain't flowing like you thought they should have been? or some emergency situation comes up, how do you handle it? When things don't go the way you want it, when things ain't where you put them to be, how do you handle it? Far too many times, we start looking at God like he doing something wrong. And how dare he not do what we want when we want it to be done? And we will have the nerve to quote unquote sit down on God. Really? We got it like that? That we go pout and sit down on him rather than trust him in the unexpected? God allows unexpected circumstances and situations for a variety of reasons. For a variety of reasons. Remember the story of Joseph? Not this same Joseph that we're talking about here, but Joseph back in Genesis. God allowed this young boy to be hated by his brothers, to be sold into slavery. Then he was employed by Potiphar. He was accused by, I call him Mrs. Potiphar, accused of rape, attempted rape. He was accused. He didn't do any of that, but God allowed it to be so. He was thrown in prison and ultimately served his time and was placed in a place in government that many years later allowed him to be there to provide for his family. See, God allowed the unexpected to happen for what was going to happen many years later. Maybe why God is allowing you to go through what you go through is for later. Maybe it's for somebody else. Maybe it's for the betterment. Understand that everything that God allows. See, God doesn't do everything, but he allows it to happen many times. It's for your good. You got to understand that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 points out that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. God allows things to happen that he might get the glory and that it might benefit us. I'm reminded, and I've said this many times, in the Psalms 119, David points out an interesting fact. He says in verse number 71, it was good for me to be afflicted. Wait. It's good for me to be afflicted? Don't nobody that I know like to be sick. Nobody that I know like to be sick. Even if it's a child playing hooky, want to play hooky from school, they don't like being sick. Notice when they pretend like they're sick and they pretend like they got a fever or something. They done heated up the thermometer on the light bulb or something. And when mama or daddy say, all right, you sick, go in there and get in the bed. And you going to stay in the bed all day. No TV, no games, no nothing. They get sick for real then. Because don't nobody like being sick. But here David is saying, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Why? So that I might learn your decrees. In our suffering, we learn more about God. We learn more about what God says for us. And if we do it right, if we trust God through our unexpecteds, we will find out that he is everything that people said he was and more. In responding to what God had allowed, if we do it like Mary and Joseph, we too can find that in the unexpected, God is still in control. God still does what needs to be done. We are called according to his purpose. So I got to know that. And I don't just know it, I got to live it. I got to live as I'm called according to the purpose of God. It does no good to talk about, I know God left me here for something, and you never find out what God has you here for. I've told people, because I know it to be the truth, you want to know what God got you here for, ask him. And then when he tells you, don't be surprised, but just find yourself getting busy seeking after what he has called you to. When we find ourselves dealing with the unexpected of Christmas, We can go down a little further in Luke chapter 2, and let's go down to verse number 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. The unexpected. Here we see God doing the unexpected once again. The shepherds, really? Really, God, that's who you gonna use to make this announcement about your son being born. That's who you go, shepherds, outcasts. They worked out a job. You know, shepherds worked out in the field, and you got to work all night. Smelly and nasty because you're dealing with the animals. People look down on the shepherds. But God chose them. God chose the unexpected. God often works through people who are less than what we expect. We often look to this person or that person for a word from the Lord because they are whoever they might be, and we totally dismiss a small child or a non-believer even who's being used by God. Sometimes God will even speak to a television commercial, and we will dismiss it because it's unexpected. Unexpected. We will even dismiss ourselves because we'll say, I'm not good enough. I can't be who God called me to be. I can't live the way God called me to live. God uses the unexpected. And if it's you, God can use you. God doesn't care what other people have to say about you. God doesn't care how other people feel about you. God does not care that other people may dismiss you. God doesn't care that other people may leave you alone and forsake you. And all. God doesn't care about that. But God knows who you are. God knows what he's put down inside of you. God knows what he has placed in your heart. God knows, and God knows this sometimes even better than what we know about ourselves. So since God uses the unexpected, when God speaks to us, when God leads us, when God directs our pathway, we got to find ourselves walking therein. We got to remember, we belong, we matter to God. You know, in this day and age, we talk about Black Lives Matters and this matters and that group matters. Well, to God, you matter. You matter. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. None of that matters. You matter to God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 is beginning at verse number 8. Said, for it is by grace, God's unmerited favor, that you have been saved. And through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God uses the unexpected, and sometimes that unexpected is us. Don't be overwhelmed by it. The unexpected. Remember when he said, and Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 14, many are called, but few are chosen to be a chosen vessel of God. Here Mary is, minding her own business, no doubt planning a wedding. You know, y'all, you know how you do when folk planning a wedding. And you know, they did this on everybody's nerves. Everybody's a bridezilla without even realizing they're bridezillas. And the rest of the family going, I'll be glad when this is over. But God came with the unexpected. Mary and Joseph accepted the unexpected. And in accepting the unexpected, they took us to our last point today of God working in unexpected ways. There's a verse that we read earlier. I want to read it again in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that leads me over to John 3:16. Thinking of God and his unexpected of Christmas. Because the verse says over there, for God so loved the world, us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love, God's forgiveness, God's mercy toward us, it's unexpected. It's not something we deserve. Just because I am who I am, I deserve to have this and I demand it. No, it's because of God's mercy toward us. And because God loved us, he did the unexpected for us. God sending his son to pay the penalty for our sins is unexpected. Not only that, but his forgiving us of our sins, unexpected, allowing us to spend eternity with him forever, unexpected. God is unpredictable, but he does things with no logic, no rhyme or no reason from our way of thinking. Sometimes he'll do things that don't make no sense to us at all. But remember, he doesn't think like us. His ways are not like us. But we see, as we see in the story of the birth of Jesus, as we look for the birth of Jesus to come, we celebrate on Christmas Day, we see that God works in the unexpected. God knows what he's doing and has a reason that is beyond our understanding. There's a verse that is said, it's from a poem, and a lot of folks say it's from scripture. No, it's based on scripture, but it ain't scripture. That says, God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. We got to always remember, God's ways ain't like our ways, and it's not unusual that God does the unexpected. But when I can remember this, I can look for better. I can look for greater. Why? Because his ways are always higher than mine. The outcome of what God always puts in motion is always for his glory. Remember, he does exceedingly, abundantly what we can ask or even think. So we should expect the unexpected from God. Expect the unexpected from God. Expect it. When something comes about in your world, in your life, in your day that is unexpected, look around and see, where is God? Knowing that he's promised not to leave us nor forsake us. So that means he's here. And even in this unexpected, crazy situation, God will make it happen for my good. It will come about for my good. No matter what happens, God wants to use the unexpected to draw us closer to him. thanking him for the unexpected should be thrilling. And leaning on him for the unexpected should be absolutely breathtaking for us. Expect the unexpected. So as we prepare for Christmas, the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look forward to that day, and not just Christmas Day, but life in general, as we look forward, let us be not overwhelmed by the unexpected. God is still in control. Yes, he is. I felt that right there. God is in control. And you got to know it. I don't care what happens. I don't care who says what. I don't care who does what. God is still in control. And he uses the unexpected for his glory and for our betterment. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We praise you for all things. We thank you, God, for the unexpecteds of Christmas. We thank you that you brought about a pregnancy in a way that was unexpected. You brought it to somebody that was totally unexpected of it. You allowed the birthplace to be an unexpected birth. Not in some fancy birthing room, not in some hotel, in some inn, but in a lowly stable. Allowing our Lord and Savior to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a feeding trough. You then gave the announcement of this great and glorious event to some lowly, stinking shepherds. The unexpected. All of this you did that you might carry out the fact that you loved us enough to give your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in you can have everlasting life. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough that you work through the unexpected. Now, God, forgive us for any place that we have sinned, any place that we have failed you, any place that we have missed the mark, any place we've messed up. And God, sometimes we mess up. We knew exactly what we were doing, but we messed up nonetheless. We failed nonetheless. Sometimes we weren't aware of it, but when we looked up, we realized I done messed up. Either way, God, however it happened, forgive us. Wash us clean and make us whole and allow us to forgive ourselves that we might move from where we are to the place that you would have us to be. Now, God, as we come nearer to the end of this year of 2020, there have been so many unexpecteds in this year, God. Deaths like we have not seen before. Sicknesses in manners we've never seen, even an illness that we have never been heard of before. People losing jobs and finances drying up and food being short and schools being closed and all of these things, isolation taking place, all of these things, God, unexpected. The unexpected can be so overwhelming, but we trust you, God. We trust your word that says when we lean to you and lean on your understanding, because you don't think like we think. We do this, God. You direct our paths. So help us today that we can trust you more. Help us to believe you more. Help us in our experiences to see you the more. No matter what comes up, no matter what shows up in our way, God, no matter what we receive in our mailbox, no matter what we see, no matter what news the doctor gives us, no matter what our bank account says, we can trust you. You are unfailing. You never fail. Even as with that early Christmas morning, you were looking out for us. You were looking out for what would happen later. We weren't even on the scene yet, but you were looking out for us. Your word says, while we were still in our sins, you sent Christ, your perfect Son, that he might die for us, the ungodly. Thank you, God. Now, God, we just want to live in you as we experience the unexpected, knowing that it shall be well. You shall carry us through. You shall carry us over. You shall never leave us. God, help us to share the love that you share with us, with others, that they too might experience you in the time of unexpected. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, God. Amen. We just praise God for each and every one of you. We want you to know that as we enter this Advent season, this is our first Sunday of Advent, and we prepare for the coming of the Lord, we can deal with the unexpected. Don't sit back and feel like, I don't know what Christmas is going to be like, and it ain't going to be the same, and all of those sorts of things. No, you're right. It ain't going to be the same. Because God gives us a new day every day. And so while it's not the same, if we keep God in it, I guarantee you, just like Mary and Joseph going off to Bethlehem, not knowing where they were going to stay, God will provide. And I'm not talking about in a material sense. God takes care of us in a material way. But what most of us need is so much more than material. We need some joy and some peace and some love and some understanding and some compassion and some mercy. And God will give it, even in the middle of unexpected. God bless you today. Make sure you reach out to us. Send us your prayer request. Send us your praise report. We want to shout the victory along with you. Know that we're here for you. We are continuing to pray for you. And it shall be well. Live in victory. As soon as we're able to get back in the sanctuary, we will. But until that time, I implore you to keep trusting God. Keep depending on God. Reach out to your brothers and sisters. Share this message. Share it. Like it. Tag it. You know, y'all know the social media stuff to do. I always say I don't know how to do it. I know how to do some of it, but I mess up a whole lot of it. I be thinking I done sent somebody something, and I ask them, did they see it? And they be like, no, I didn't get it. And I would have sworn in a court of law that I sent it to them. So, but you know how to do it. So do this, that your friends, your loved ones, and even you can live in victory today. God bless you. We love you with the love of Jesus.